Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
No man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it goes down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots be on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, no. Now the war is not over, victory isn't won, but we'll fight on to the finish, and then when it's all done, we'll cry glory, oh glory, oh.
Selma is now for every man, woman, and child. Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the League of Justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald ego. No one can win a war individually. It takes the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory. The coming of the Lord, my eyes have seen the glory.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, glory, oh, glory.
Welcome.
Two decades, the Black Athlete Sports Network has served as the definitive source for information about the black athlete. Whether it be historical or analytical, BASN has always celebrated the contributions of sport's most innovative and unique being, the black athlete. In 2016, as we relaunch blackathlete.com, look for more of the same from our unique set of writers and historians. We have been and always will be the soul of sports. We are BASN.
We are BASN. And the BASN Network. Today is January 25th, 2020. Our president is in an impeachment battle. Our country is in an impeachment mode. We must take back this country, as they said before, but we gotta take it back. It won't take long. See, this is the day. Richard Miller Nixon, Ronald Reagan, Bill Clinton, and now Donald Trump. What do they have in common? It's not the crime, it's not the allegations, it's not the intent, it's the cover up. It's worse than what you did. And here we go again. It's the cover up. Now, will Donald J. Trump be impeached? I doubt it. Because Republicans are not gonna budge. I doubt it. But the American people have the ability this year to take Donald J. Trump out of office. Of office this November. Your duty. If you think he's innocent, you vote for Donald Trump. If you think he's guilty, you vote him out of office. This is our duty as Americans to vote. So you got no excuse now. You got no excuse not to vote this year. It's your duty to do so. And my political rep is there. Trust me, this ain't gonna get any better. Because Donald J. Trump, see, people better be murderers. Donald J. Trump is an egomaniac. Donald J. Trump is a self-loathing fool. So if he needs losing, guess what? He'll try to suspend the election. Trust me. You think I'm kidding? Trust me. If he even thinks he's losing, he will change the rules. That's the way Donald J. Trump runs. You pick this fool as president. Well, now you gotta live with it. Hey, I gotta live with it. That's my political rant for today. I will not go anywhere in this because this is foolishness. Wasting that air money. This guy should be underneath the jail, but hey, he Donald J. Trump. He gets away with it. Okay, we'll get back to the show. The opening, please.
Welcome to the GLC with Gary Norris Gray. Call in at 646-727-3649. Thank you, Black Athlete Sports Network and BASNNewsroom.com for sponsoring the Gray Leopard Code. Now, in its second decade of reporting, L. Gray gmail.com. Richmond, Virginia, for their service to inform our community. The mighty Oba Pat Freeman, who is from Buffalo, New York, will join the DLC radio network with a sound cloud half hour podcast. At 4:45 Eastern Time, with the NFL report, at 2 Eastern Time, with Michael Lewis Ingram, Old Tree Radio, In the Raw, and Social Sports News. Sunday night, you will have Musical Mindstream, after the Music Box Hour, on Wednesday night is the Political Stir Fry at 9 Eastern Time. Eastern Time. On Blog Talk Radio. At 6 Eastern Time, we have Anthony Johnson, who is a special person, and he's running for political office in 2020. In the city of Brother, Philadelphia, you all. Support his efforts to represent the people of Philadelphia. The following The New England Informer magazine with Doreen Wade as the CEO,
Good News for the Black Community.
black community.
Yes, ma'am.
Young star Travel Singleton from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, will
with his gate for grade.
Yeah. If your kids are getting A's on their homework, are they're in school, then contact Travis for Facebook.com. Remembering Roland Rogers, the founder and the CEO of BASN in New York City, and the family of BASN writers, broadcasters. Cannot forget 707 and 609 for their support. Be a sponsor. Check in the Cove Caravan. Email VLC GL Gray at gmail.com. The Cove
join the Cove Caravan and the Dole Patrol of Facebook.com.
Okay. Please visit our website, www.basnnewsroom.com. Make sure that you get a different look at the sports world through the eyes of your reporter. Gary and Gray, episode 646. 727-3649. Have a great day.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Good job. Way to go. You know, this week is the opening of the Australian Open. And it was a hard week for the African-American ladies. This week, Maria Sharapova loses again the first round, and she has not won any major since her drug bust 4 years ago. She loses to Donna Vitek, the Republic. Coco Gauff does it again as he beats Venus Williams in the first round of the Australian Open. Sloane Stephens loses to mainland China star Zhang in the first round. Coco Vandeweghe loses to German Sigmund Wawrinka beat Daria Kaczynski in Osaka in the third round. And Serena Williams loses in the third round. So, only Madison Keys. Madison Keys is the only African American woman left in this round. So, got a word to do this year in the African American women's tennis. It'll work out in the end. On Tuesday, the captain, Derek Jeter, goes into the Hall of Fame. Of course, one knucklehead had to ruin the deal, and he had no perfect score. So Derek Jeter goes in with 99.9% of the vote. I don't understand why you would leave Derek Jeter off the list of the Hall of Fame. Next year will be interesting for baseball Hall of Fame because of the steroid era, all the steroid era players, i.e. Clemens, i.e. Barry Bonds, will be eligible for induction. We will see how this goes. Wednesday, Eli Manning of the New York Football Giants retired with two Super Bowls. Is he Hall of Fame? We don't know. The New York Mets hired Luis Rojas, the new manager, the son of Felipe Alou. So the New York Mets have a new manager to take over 2020 team. Luis Rojas. Kansas, the University of Kansas basketball star, Savio DeSoto, will get 12 games suspension for fighting at the KSU-KU game when he picked up a chair and started swinging the chair. So, I mean, you can't do that. You can't do that. So Kansas will be without Louis DeSoto for 12 games. Zion Williamson returns to the New Orleans Penguins, gets 22 points, wows the crowd, but the Penguins lose by 4 points. Zion is the new LeBron James. On Wednesday, Antonio Brown cannot get straight as the police issue a battery and burglary assault charges as he threw rocks at the movie man. I mean, come on, this guy, what's wrong with you, Antonio? Brown, on Thursday, Brown turned himself into the police and a judge ordered a medical evaluation. As I said, Serena Williams loses to mainland tennis Wang, and this woman is an up-and-coming tennis player, so Serena, she has to win a major this year, or she will not do it because it's beginning to show up in her legs. She cannot run 3 sets because she's simply older. She can't do it. Caroline Wozniacki ends her career. Losing to Onis Iber as Wozniacki hangs up her tennis racket. A good career. Tiger Woods, the age of 69 and Torrey Pines, he's done this year, all right. Tiger Woods, 9-25. We'll see how he goes on this weekend. If he come back next weekend, see what he did, all right? So, we'll take a break here and come back with other news of the week.
Augustine, Fayetteville is at Winston-Salem,
is at Colorado, SMU is at Memphis, Baylor is at Florida, and Pacific is at Gonzaga, and Arizona is at Arizona State. All today. On the ladies' side, Norfolk State hosts Gonzaga State. Bethune-Cookman travels to Greensboro, North Carolina, the Aggies of A&T. The Swing, Jackson State is at Grambling State today. CIAA, Lincoln is at Bowie State. Virginia State is at Johnson C. Smith. Mayorville is at Winston-Salem State. Pac-12, Stanford is at Colorado. And Utah this weekend. The Battle of Oregon this weekend. Oregon at Oregon State. And Oregon State will travel to Oregon on Sunday. The LA schools host the Washington schools this weekend. MVC. The Bradley Lady Braves play the Drake Lady Bulldogs. The Missouri State Lady Bears play the Evansville Lady Aces today, and today's big game is Texas Tech over Baylor. They have the NCAA schedule for this weekend. I want to take a look up with DJ EJ Ugly. And it might take a little while, but EJ Ugly. Talk about police brutality and a police state. Let's do this right now.
Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, man, for having me.
So good to have you here.
You interestingly, you were talking about Peter Strzok, who raised $500,000.
Right.
You know, the cop that shot Darren Wilson raised shot Mike Brown, Darren Wilson raised $1.2 million.
Wait, the cop raised $1.2
million? $1.2
million.
For what? For killing Michael Brown. His GoFundMe made $1.2
million.
Jeez. So if you think hating Trump is bad, hating the black dude is way more lucrative.
That's a perfect segue to get into this book.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's basically what this book is all about. How not to get shot and other advice for white people.
Yeah. Well,
where did the book come from?
Well, I was on the Megyn Kelly show. Remember when she was at Fox before she stopped being a racist and moved to NBC? Argument, you know, because there's never been, I think America has never seen a young black man or woman killed by the police. They were so appalled, they were driven to action. And it was a very frustrating conversation. Rather than get frustrated, I wrote a book about it.
And you wrote the book from the perspective of somebody who's taking the advice that you've seen doled out by white people repeatedly after a shooting or after an incident. It's always advice on what black people are doing wrong.
Well, white people have been getting other advice since we first got here. So, you know, I figure they're adept at it. But it's like when I hear these things, like these nonsensical arguments, like white supremacists, just, we want our country back. Like, as I recall, when you had the country to yourself, you invited us to the party. Like, we didn't book a cruise here because we heard they was hiring.
Oh, yeah.
On the boat, they hired in America. It's just, you know, people have these warped notions of what they would do, and if you would just cooperate, or if you would, but I think that ultimately people just aren't uncomfortable with black people or people of color being killed by police. I think they think that that's how it's supposed to go. No one likes to see a cow mutilated, but they don't mind either state.
Do you think that? I mean, that speaks to, in many ways, you know, Black Lives Matter, and what the conversation was about is that we've gotten so used to seeing black bodies traumatized. And as people, you know, both black and white, we have lost notion of what the value of a black person is.
Well,
like, to a certain extent, like, you know,
I don't know that we can say America ever had it. But, like,
that's interesting.
That's really, like, even now when the football players are on strike, everybody goes, don't do that when there's a time and a place to do it. But the only time white people watch black doulas if we're singing, dancing, running the football. Like, that's, like, the other times, they're not going to particularly pay attention to us. And I think nobody has more invested in black people being treated fairly than football players. Like,
right.
Because if you're big, you're black, you're fast, you're strong, that works great on Sunday. But on Monday,
that's like you're in the wrong place.
It's the reason they acquit.
Right. You had an encounter with the police when you were what?
8 years old?
Well, that was your first encounter with the police?
Yeah, I was 8 years old. I grew up on 135th and Avalon. I'm coming from school, getting a free lunch in the summer, and the police pull up, and they pull up to me and my friend, and they're asking us questions about a cat that lived in my neighborhood. And they're like, where is he? And like, we don't know. They're like, put your hands on the car. And I said, sir, this car is hot. And he said, nigga, if you take your hands off this car, I'm going to blow your head off. Now, I'm 8 years old. Flash to, a couple of weeks ago, when a young kid in Chicago, 10 years old, is handcuffed and peeing on himself.
Right.
And I think that was my first experience, and I'll never forget it, and I'm sure he never will either.
Right, and that shapes a relationship that people have. And, you know, it's funny, I always try to have this conversation with people where I go, the shootings that you see are generally like a lost straw. That's like the final mm-hmm. step, but there is so much along the way. You see so many people having these interactions with police. When you move through the book and when you talk about these things, there's one theme I notice you have, and that is talking about police interacting with black people who have disabilities,
sure.
with black people who may have mental disabilities
sure.
or mental issues. And in the book, you talk about, you dedicate the book to your son.
Yes. Who, my son has had Asperger's syndrome. He's a very fit kid. And, and my concern, I think, like when people say, like people always say, teach your children to be afraid, to respect the police. I think black people teach our kids to fear the police. It's like if they're going outside, I want you to don't look them in the eye, don't move fast,
right.
don't run. Dad, I'm not going to the front. No, you're going to the driveway. So,
right.
I think that we tried to instill a sense of fear in them because we don't want anything to happen to them. But you're more likely to be hurt or killed or have a negative interaction with the police if you're mentally, emotionally, or physically handicapped. They get shot more.
Why do you think that worries you more for your son as someone who has Asperger's?
Because I think that sometimes my son has a hard time listening to me. I think first off, when you're a young man, you can't listen to instructions anyway. So I don't even know if it has anything to do with him having a mental disability. A kid. But the fear is that you don't want them to see that as defiance. And
right.
defiance costs. Like, in America, it's okay for somebody to get killed if they're defiant. They'll go, well, why didn't you just do what they said? Why were
right.
you defiant? Why did you talk? And you never want to, I don't want to be one of those guys who's showing pictures so I can humanize my son. And so I always try to instill a sense of fear in him. But ultimately, the book is just, it really is not an indictment of society. It's an inspection.
When you look at the book from cover to cover, mm-hmm. what do you hope people will take away from it? Because some might say, but like, DL, I already know this morbid world that we're living in. I already know the harsh realities. Like, what am I getting from the book that I may not be getting from everyone else's conversations?
Well, first off, a laugh, because it's very funny. I know it doesn't seem like it right now.
Right.
but second, I think that you'll recognize some things. The only way that we can guarantee that there are not these, like, we can't keep having these kinds of things happen. And everybody kind of goes, that's the way things are. Because we can't pretend to be a society. You can't say in a society that we're all about justice and you're innocent to prove guilty, but an officer can summarily slaughter someone on the streets and no one be about to account for it. Even if we know that they did it. Like Philando Castile, he didn't break the law. We saw what happened.
Right.
We weren't uncomfortable with it. I tell you what, the most dangerous place for black people to live is in white people's imagination. Like it's never the guy they see. It's not the black guy. It's the black guy in Chicago. It's the black guy they saw
right.
on the news. It's the black guy on the video. Like, I'm scared of the black dude in their imagination. Like, I hope I never meet him.
You know what? That's a powerful observation because, I mean, that really is it. It's more the idea of
right.
the black man than the actual black man. It's an idea that's being perpetuated through whatever it may be.
Even if you look at what happened with Trump and Obama, everything they said about him was made up. He doesn't belong here. He's a Muslim. He wasn't born here. He hates America. He's really a terrorist.
Right.
And people believed it. They believed it because the idea of us is much more impactful and fearful than the reality of us. And you get to do it. You get to, like, if there's a shooting in Chicago, they'll say, well, 75 people were killed in Chicago, and that's an indicator, well, most black people don't live in Chicago, but that is what we get indicted with.
Right, right, right.
A bunch of white kids get killed with opiate, we don't say that those are all white kids.
Right.
But you get to paint us with one broad brush, and it becomes our story. And like, I remember Stephen Clark got shot in Sacramento, and they pointed to Chicago. I'm like, I need a new Schoolhouse Rock edition, because I don't even know. I didn't even know they were that close.
How do you use comedy? I mean, old comedians have different tools and, you know, coping mechanisms. But it's interesting that you say this funny in the book. Like, how do you respond to someone who says, but DL, is there anything funny in this?
No, but it's ironic. It's ironic. Just like the things you hear. Like, now there's this argument. First off, this whole week has been hilarious to me. Like, Amorosa is dropping more tapes than Lil Wayne. Like,
right.
There's an argument as to whether Trump really said the N-word on tape. That's what we need. Because we heard him admit to sexual assault on tape.
Right.
We heard him. And I always make the point that white people are in a poor position to judge what racism is. Because they've been so horrible at it before. Like,
right.
Slavery wasn't racist. The Jim Crow wasn't racist. Those monuments to racists weren't racist. So that's like a rapist decide what rape is. Do you know what I mean? You
right.
can't.
Which is what the kid from Stanford tried to do, actually.
Right. Yeah.
Right. It was out of course, funny enough.
And they get to do it. It's just like all, like now they're saying, like, whenever the N-word argument comes up, white people go, well, you say it in hip-hop all the time. Like, the N-word has been the American lexicon since the early 1700s. Hip-hop been around since 1975. Like, what came first, nigga or the Sugar Hill Gang? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't get how even that's a real argument.
Right, right, right.
But they don't have that argument. Well, you say it all the time. Like, as if the first. Not only am I certain that Donald Trump has said it, I'm certain that if the tape comes out, it'll be his reelection campaign slogan. I'm serious. There's nothing that he could say about somebody of color, or that you could. There's nothing so horrible. Like, I can't stand Omarosa. I think she's a horrible human being. But you can't call her a dog. There is a way to have discourse and disagreements with people without being so barbaric. And I think when that all goes out the window, when you're an other, when you're a person of color, you get to say and do whatever you want. And in the end, people go, oh, that's all right.
Damn.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
We need to read that book. Okay, it's playoff time in the NFL. It's a week before Super Bowl. It's called Dead Week between the 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, here we are. Both teams wear gold and red uniforms. Andy Reid keeps on reading. In 50 years, it's been the Chiefs. It's been the last time the Chiefs went to the Super Bowl 50 years ago. The Niners was in the 90s. With the Steve Young victory in their white uniforms. I believe that the Niners should win this game. I love Patrick Mahomes. But Patrick Mahomes can't do it all by himself. So I'm picking the Niners by 3 points. And next week, Super Bowl. Today is the NFC-AFC All-Star Game. Tomorrow at noon is the NFC-AFC All-Star Game. Many of the playoff teams will not be there because they're injured, so they won't be there. Yesterday was the skills competition. Tomorrow also is the NHL All-Star Game. So, it's a quiet weekend. Only the NBA is playing this weekend. David Stern was laid to rest this week as a memorial to the NBA rise. David Stern was the commissioner of the NBA. As the game became a worldwide power, as now we have basketball in China and a moneymaker in China, David Stern is the key to that. So as the world continues to turn, we pay tribute to David Stern. We'll take a break, come back with another episode of The Little Bit Cold. and looking for his 83rd championship. Next week is the Waste Management meeting in Arizona. Waste Management meeting in Scottsdale, Arizona. Excuse me, Scottsdale, Arizona. LPGA. Last weekend, the ladies got the season started in Florida with a Diamond Resort Tournament of Champions with a bang and a playoff, a seven-round playoff that went until Monday afternoon. And let's see, we got here playoffs. Gabby Lopez won over Nadia Ataco. So it was a seven-round playoff in the opening season for the LPGA. This week is the inaugural event of the Grand Bridge LPGA Boca Raton. Of course, it's in Boca Raton, Florida. In 2 weeks, it will be the ISPS Honda Vic Open in Australia. WTA men. Last weekend, the men attended their last tournament of the year with the Qatar ExxonMobil Open. Rublev beat Molay in a final match. Last weekend, they were the Australian Open and the ASBC Classic in New Zealand. Hubert wins the ASBC Classic and is still going on with the Australian Open. WTA Women is the Australian Open going into the fourth round. NASCAR will start the season February 9th with the Busch Clash at Daytona International Speedway. IndyCar. See the start May March 15th in St. Petersburg, Florida for the Firestone Grand Prix. We continue to salute Lewis Hamilton, winning his 6th Formula 1 championship. The season starts the first week in April. First week of April, Formula 1 racing. Okay. Now we're going to get into the mighty Oba. See the mighty Oba got a thing with Pro Talk. The mighty Oba.
Thank you for tuning in to Pro Talk with the Mighty Oba. Today on Pro Talk, we have with us one of the finest individuals I have ever met in my life. She is the only person with a NFL-sanctioned event at the Super Bowl. For now, for 21 years, she has put forth the Super Bowl Gospel Celebration, in which she has given NFL players to bring their testimonies of faith. And I mean, many of them are world-shaking. When you hear their stories, the story of Tommy Harris, the story of Ray Lewis, all of those people came to the Super Bowl Gospel Celebration, including the great Russell Wilson, who I call the General, and Troy Vincent, and many others. She has been honored all over this country for her achievements. She is one of the great people that you will ever have the opportunity of meeting, Miss Melanie Few, the creator and founder of Super Bowl Gospel Celebration. Hello, Melanie.
Hey, how are you?
How'd you like that introduction?
I loved it, but you're my friend. You're my friend, so you're partial.
But
you're
truthful.
Very biased.
But truthful. Knowing that you're a woman of faith and have one of the best hearts I have ever met.
Now, oh, thank you so much.
Well, it's my pleasure. You have treated me with kindness since I started covering the Super Bowl gospel celebration many, many years ago at this point.
I know. It's been so many years.
Well, tell me, what made you do or what made you create the Super Bowl gospel celebration? How did it come about?
Well, it came about because I had gone to the Super Bowl with a friend, and I wasn't thinking about doing a gospel event or church event or anything like that. And when I went, I thought, wow, this is amazing. You know, this weekend, it's so much excitement, so much activity. People just full of excitement.
Mm-hmm.
I had the idea. I realized I felt like something was missing. And I said, you know, there's no gospel concert at Super Bowl.
Right.
And so I wrote the NFL. And I had about 7 years of rejection letters. And after 7 years of rejection letters, I wrote the NFL Players Association. I wrote to Jean Upshaw, who at the time was a friend of mine, her boss. And so after I did that, he was like, yeah, okay. And I got so sick of writing an email, and he said, I'll tell you what, if you can get Gladys Knight to do the Super Bowl gospel celebration, then I'll help you do it. You know, we can do it up under the umbrella of the NFLPA.
Mm.
Little did he know that my aunt and Gladys went to high school together. And I said, oh, you haven't seen anything but work. And so, to make a long story short, we delivered Gladys and had all this other amazing talent. And the years went on. It was the Players Association. And so after that, they stopped the NFL from doing public events, and the NFLPA, excuse me. And we thought Super Bowl gospel was just going to go away. And then we heard from the NFL, and they said, hey, you know, the players seem to love this event. We're going to sanction you.
Mm.
We did not know what sanction meant.
Mm.
And I was hoping it meant let's meet up at the bank, but it didn't mean that. It means they give you the rights and the blessings to go forward and have a sanction with the intellectual property of the league.
Yes.
So that's what it meant. And we have been on this journey now for 21 years. We had some of the most amazing talent for everybody. I could go on and on.
Yes.
So I'm really scared to even name names, but from, you know, Kirk Franklin to Fantasia to Yolanda Adams to Donna McClurkin, I mean, Erica Campbell, Mary, I could go, Patti LaBelle, I could go on 24 hours naming,
yes,
you know, the talent, and I shouldn't have done that because I know I've missed, you know, left some folks out, but it's just been a blessing. It's been a blessing to be on this journey 21 years. And to be honest with you, I had said, Lord, please let me make it to 20 because it'll be in my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
I did not really know that I would go to a 21. Because he answered my prayer at 20. I said, you know, if I make it to 20, you know, I'll be at peace that I made it 20. And he gave me the ability and the blessing to be surrounded by amazing team and people that have poured into my life. So I was going to be okay with that. But he saw fit to, you know, bless me with being able to stay on this journey, and I'm grateful.
Melanie, what has been your greatest struggle over the years with Super Bowl gospel celebration?
There have been many because when people come to an event like this, they come and enjoy it, but they don't really realize the sacrifices that are made and how much, and they should. It's their job to have a fun night out and
right,
to enjoy it. what I tell anybody, what goes on, and I've worked many shows, including the Grammys. Years ago, I worked the Grammys. All hell can be breaking loose backstage, but as long as no one in the audience knows it,
exactly.
It does not matter. You know? So I tell anybody, you know, when you have a small team, you know, I'm a small business owner, and we don't have, you know, millions and millions, you know, nothing like that. It's when you are coming from the ground up, because I'm blessed to have a TV partner that, you know, definitely fills the gap with the production, but there's so many more layers, and, you know, from graphics to PR to you name it, things that have to be done on our side. And all that has to be paid for. And so as a small business owner, sometimes, you know, getting those invoices and having to pay them, it's hard.
Right.
But you have to do what you have to do, and you have to respect people's time and their God-given gifts. And I think that's why I've had the same team for 13 and 14 years, is because I try to put in the universe what I want back, which is respect.
Right. Now, tell me, Melanie, who have been your favorite NFL players that have helped you?
You know what? I can't go there because I'm scared. I'm going to.
Well, you've had certain people that were been there, like Tommy Harris.
Okay, so, yeah.
Michael Gaines.
So, Michael and Tommy have been here almost the whole ride.
Right.
They came on board, I think, 2006 or 2007. I don't remember the exact year, but they've been on this journey with me a long time. Ori Johnson been on this journey
right.
pretty much the whole ride. Brian Scott didn't come too much farther behind them. So there have been, those guys have been rock solid, supportive, and committed to, you know, the cause. And then there are guys that, you know, are currently still playing, like your Russell Wilson, like your Von Miller, like your Jameis Winston, like your Cam Newton, who have also been supportive.
Right.
It's a different kind of support because, you know, they are have started to come over these last few years and just really love it.
Mm-hmm. Now, I remember there were some real lean years, even when I was covering, that you and I talked and you said that I believe it was around the time frame of the economic downturn. Am I right?
Oh, yeah. There's been plenty of those.
And a lot of the sponsors pulled away. How did you manage those challenges?
You know, personal sacrifices. You know, that's why I tell anybody, I look at things very, very different now. When I go to a show, I look at things very differently because I know the sacrifices that may have been made to pull it off. So, you know, that's what, yeah, I could just say, yeah, there have been many lean years, and I'm just grateful that, you know, I came from a praying family that just allowed me to just say, you know what? I'll make personal sacrifices because God has not released me, and I will do what I got to do because this is His will. But there have been a lot of personal sacrifices made.
Mm. And during the tenure of this great event, tell me about some of the performers that have really stepped up to, I mean, you don't have to name names because I know there's a whole bunch of them, but I know that you have some great relationships with some of the gospel superstars that have helped you get this program forward many times over. Who are, without saying names, what have they done to really help you keep the Super Bowl gospel celebration going?
Many artists. It could be as simple as praying for us. It could be as simple as, you know, I'm not going to charge you my normal rate because I know that a percentage of the sales go to charity, and I know that, you know, that this is a journey, because many of them have done branded events on their own. So they know it's nowhere near as easy as it appears. So it's been many over the years.
And I know Donnie McClurkin is one that has showed
up.
Lord
many
times. Now, how's his health? I know he had some health challenges. Is he going to be able to participate this year?
He is participating. No one's told me anything.
You know, he was in a car accident about a year or two ago.
Oh, yeah, he's much, much better.
Okay.
And he will be there this year.
Excellent, excellent. So, yeah, that's what I was referring to. I knew as far as any challenges.
Yeah, I was like, what happened?
Right. No, I was talking about the car accident as far as him. And, you know, I know he's released a new album, so obviously I did see he had committed to being on Super Bowl Gospel Celebration again. And because of you, I've met him and many others many times over. If you notice, I'm always posting pictures from Super Bowl Gospel Celebration.
And you should, because you're family.
Absolutely. And I consider you family also. You know that.
I know it.
Tell me, too, Melanie, what has been your favorite city out of all this over the last 20 years?
Need you ask Atlanta.
I know Atlanta is definitely, that's your hometown.
Think Atlanta.
Well, let's exclude it. Outside of Atlanta, what city?
Been so many cities where the people have been so wonderful. I mean, Minneapolis was a really great. Houston was huge. We were at Joel Osteen's church.
Right, right.
It's been a few because God has been so faithful. It's been a few.
How about if I do this? I'm going to give you a city, and then you tell me. What was your thoughts of it? And the first city I wanted to give you was Detroit. I thought Detroit was such a mecca of gospel, and you had such a historic lineup there. One of the first gospel celebrations that I had went to, and I just thought Detroit was an awesome city. I think it was at the Scottish. It was either Masonic Cathedral.
Yes, that's been years.
Yes. Patti LaBelle was there, the Winans, Clark Sisters. And you've always had great lineups, but how did you like Detroit because of its historical significance?
Of course, I loved it. Now, that Cole was on the
I know, that's right.
That and Minneapolis. Minneapolis, I couldn't even feel my hand and feet.
Right.
I think they're still there, but yes. I'm not sure. I would have to say, let's see. Oh, it's just been so many good cities.
Miami, you've been there. This will be the third time, right?
I've been there a few times. I mean, it's always good. But there are some cities where, you know, because we go wherever the Super Bowl is, but there are some cities where people are just more convicted about gospel.
Yes.
And, you know, gospel music and just loving it.
Yes. New Orleans, that was an interesting city for you.
Yeah, that's been years.
Mm-hmm.
But, it was definitely interesting.
Mm.
Because that was right after 9/11, so people had to get to the stadium so early because of, you know, security checks.
Yes. And that has changed a lot, too.
Yes.
Over the years, security for events and everything else.
Uh-huh.
But this is your third Super Bowl Gospel Celebration in Miami, correct?
I think it's the fourth, if I remember. I got to go back and look.
Okay. It might be. Over the last 21 years, it could be your fourth.
I think it's the fourth because, you know, it goes there all the time because it's warm.
Right. And the last one was New Orleans against the Indianapolis Colts. That was the last one. That was 2009? Because they made them renovate the stadium.
Year.
Yeah, that was 2009.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, they made them renovate the stadium after that.
Yeah. Yep, it has been years.
Mm-hmm.
And now, so, like I say, it, I don't. That one's not my, one of my fondest memories, only because. Oh no, you're talking about we had Fantasia that year. That was a good year.
Mm-hmm.
Fantasia, Lecrae, yes, I know what you're. I'm getting my New Orleans years confused because it's been there twice.
Yes, yes, yeah. There was two New Orleans years, 2002 and 2013. That was Ray Lewis, his last Super Bowl game. And if I remember, you had it at New Orleans University, I think was.
Yes, yeah, for sure.
Right. Okay.
It was in New Orleans University.
Yes. See, I've been around a long time too.
You do. You totally do.
Well, let me ask you this. Your relationship with BET started a few years ago as far as the production of Super Bowl Gospel Celebration. How is that working out for you?
It's working out fine.
Mm-hmm.
We produced it and we licensed it to them, and now the last 2 years they have produced it, the last two or three. And so it's a blessing. It's a blessing.
Huge numbers for you.
Yeah, and that they have been a wonderful partner because, you know, most people would not be able to pull off something like this in the way that we've grown, wouldn't be able to pull it off on their own.
Right.
And so,
during the process, I know you're very close with your dad. How has he helped you along the way?
Oh, my God. I would not have been able to do this without him. The sacrifices, when we talk about those personal sacrifices,
yeah.
He's made many. Mm. And he's just, you know, he and my mother, just were days when I wanted to give up, they were there to say, you know what, you're not giving up, no ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to do a release from anything until God releases you.
Yes. One thing, Melanie, I've noticed over the years, especially with Super Bowl Gospel Celebration, when I just look at the landscape, but I've been able to tell the challenges of African-American radio in the country. And there were several companies that I remember being at the Gospel Celebration the first time I covered it in Miami. That was the Colts against the Bears. And those companies no longer exist. Has that affected Super Bowl Gospel Celebration, the challenges to black radio? Because, you know, there's not as many stations as there once was.
Exactly. You know, it's been a blessing to, you know, get the support that I have gotten from black radio. And I would not be here if it were not.
Right.
And so, did you say that question one more time? Because I want to make sure I'm clear about what you're saying.
Well, I was saying that my first time covering the Super Bowl Gospel Celebration in Miami, there were a lot of black affiliated radio stations, their corporate people that were there. They had tables in the Miami reception area. A lot of those companies are no longer in the radio business, or they've downsized. I was just wondering, has that affected Super Bowl Gospel Celebration any?
You know, a lot of people, if it has, we haven't noticed it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because we get so much local African-American radio partners and TV partners, because we embrace African-American media. So unless I haven't noticed it, maybe the PR agency has noticed it.
Right.
I just see beautiful people walking in that are fresh. I don't necessarily know who they are.
Right. Yeah, I was just wondering if that had affected it, because I remember that particular Super Bowl Gospel Celebration, Bobby Jones was there. I can't remember every person that was there, but it was a great, great turnout, and it was at the convention centers attached to the hotel in Miami.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And I'm looking for a Super Bowl Gospel Celebration, and guess where my hotel was?
Where?
The hotel where Super Bowl Gospel Celebration was.
Oh, wow.
So Pat's wandering around by himself trying to find everything, and didn't realize that my room was upstairs.
What a blessing.
So what all I had to do was walk over. I hung out, and I made sure I met the person that created Super Bowl Gospel Celebration, and that was you.
Yep, and it's been years.
Years. And you have done a fantastic job over the years. And, you know, I appreciate you taking time out to talk to me in between all the, you know, as busy as you are taking my calls. And a lot of times I'm just calling to say hello.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But
I know my buddy Michael Gaines has been a, those guys have really come through for you the last few years.
Oh, Lord, yeah. No doubt about it.
And he's a fantastic singer himself.
He is. He's amazing.
Yeah, Tommy Harris. I didn't realize Tommy Harris could sing that well. And
he has a beautiful voice.
Mm-hmm. How did his testimony that year affect you?
Oh, it was amazing because it went viral. I think like 6 million hits or something.
Right, right. And I never knew that until he stood up there and gave his testimony, along with Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis is another one.
Yeah.
That stood up in front of people and gave a tremendous testimony on how far his faith in God has brought him. And you have touched a lot of people, Miss Few. Let me tell you.
God has been so good.
What are your plans this week coming up?
Well, this week, you mean for Super Bowl?
For Super Bowl, yes.
You know what? I had a death in my family, so I'm kind of really preparing for.
I did see that, and my deepest sympathy
is
extended.
So I was supposed to leave for Miami today, and that's not happening. So I'm going to just, when I get there, just really be focusing on an amazing show and really just putting my focus there. Like I said, I'm usually in the market much earlier, and I just, you know, that was not able to happen this time. So God knows what is best.
Mm-hmm.
And he will, you know, everything will still be able to be what it's going to be when I get there.
Right. My deepest sympathy extended.
Thank you
on your loss. I did see that on Facebook, and you know, if there's anything I can do, I'm always in your corner.
Oh, I appreciate you so much.
Yes, indeed. So you're not going to get there until next week?
No, I'm getting there. Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm getting there on Saturday.
On Saturday, okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that makes sense. A lot of people don't realize how much groundwork goes into these types of events, do they?
They don't, because you get there, and, you know, you have so much work to do. People, you can't just show up the day before. It didn't work like that.
Mm-hmm. And I know you are extremely busy, and I want to tell this story on how good of a person you are in our last couple of minutes. I showed up to Houston and to pick up my press pass, and it was not there. And I knew you were busy. I was very reluctant to call you. And I said, well, let me try. I called you, and this lady picked up the phone and made sure that I had my press credentials to get in.
I had to. You were my friend.
Because they were about to tell me you're out of luck, buddy. Well, Melanie, I appreciate all that you've done for me over the years. And Super Bowl Gospel Celebration has been one of the great events that I get to cover at the Super Bowl each and every year. But most of all, I think I've met and made one of my good friends in yourself, because you are one of the finest people I have truly ever met.
And I say the same thing back to you, ditto.
I appreciate you so much.
I appreciate you, and I know your schedule is busy.
I will see you this week.
See you this week coming up.
And I'm going to be talking to some of your favorite NFL guys. They're coming on Radio Row to talk about Super Bowl Gospel Celebration. And we're going to make sure that this interview is up in the next couple of days, okay?
I appreciate you so much.
I know you do better.
Okay. Thank you, Pat.
Hey, my best to Dad. You take care of yourself, and I'll see you in a couple of days, okay?
Okay, see ya.
All right, take care. That is all for us here at Pro Talk with the founder and creator of Super Bowl Gospel Celebration, one of the finest people I have truly ever met, Miss Melanie Few. She is the only person of color with a NFL-sanctioned Super Bowl event, Super Bowl Gospel Celebration. Make sure you tune into it on your BET affiliate, and wherever you're seeing this, it's on next week. I mean, it is a great celebration. I'm the Mighty Oba. We'll see you next week.
The Mighty Oba, and the Oba will be on the Gold next week as he reports from the Super Bowl in Miami this year. So he will be reporting on the Gold. Also, the Music Box will be in 2 weeks. Oba will be on Michael Lewis Ingram's show for mine, and the Black America Athlete show on Tuesday night. So we'll have a full week from Miami, Florida, Super Bowl 54. I can't believe it. 54 years. 54 years Super Bowl. Wow, man. Okay, we got a scoreboard. Women's basketball. The Lady Banner Bears beat Texas Tech 87-39. The UConn Huskies beat UConn Pirates 98-42. And a game in progress. The 13th-ranked Gonzaga Bulldogs beat Loyola Marymount 49-33 going into the third period. The Gonzaga Bulldogs. Okay. On the men's side, New Jersey Rutgers Garden Knights 75, Nebraska 72 final, Louisville 80, Kansas 62, Villanova Wildcats 54, Providence Friars 60, West Virginia Mountaineers 74, Missouri Tigers 51, Illinois beat Michigan 64-62. And the Auburn Tigers beat the Iowa State Cyclones 80-76. Later on today, we are Dayton at Richmond Spiders, Kentucky Wildcats at Texas Tech, Baylor Bears at Florida Gators, Notre Dame at Florida State Seminoles, Washington at Colorado, Arizona at Arizona State, and Pacific is at Gonzaga. There you go. Hope to see you guys next week. Next week is Super Bowl week. We have guests on and out. People going out all day. Stay tuned next week. The San Francisco 49ers against the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm for my own. I think, as I said many times, defense wins championships. And I think the San Francisco defense will beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Oh yeah, we got a special day to our co-host here. It's a birthday tomorrow. Our opening speaker, Mindy Gray, are you there?
Hello.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. What are you going to do tomorrow? We're going to go out to dinner tomorrow.
Going to just chill out tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you enjoy your day.
Thank you.
Sports Talk Crew, hello to you. Everybody to you.
Thank you.
Yep. And we'll see you next week. Super Bowl weekend.
Super Bowl is next week.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will do a special on Super Bowl.
Okay. All right. Well, wait for that.
Yeah.
Hope you enjoy your day today.